Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Chambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedar Sark.
Man, I feel like we haven't left since last time.
It really feels like it.
Because we haven't.
Because we haven't.
we recorded two in a row, and so trying to act like it's not.
Yeah, yeah, trying to act like it's the next week. Just a peek behind the curtain here. If you've listened to last week's episode, this is right after that, because I'm about to go on a vacation.
How dare you?
I know. I shouldn't take time off to be with my family. I should always be here.
Exactly.
We don't
believe that here.
No. American Family Association does not stand for that. But I will be gone next week, so we are doing a little bit of a pre-recording.
By the time you hear this, he would have already taken his vacation. So
that's true. Yeah, that's true, in fact.
So he's on vacation right now,
yes,
as you're listening.
Yeah, that's true. the time paradoxes out of the way. with the discussion of mercy kind of fresh on our minds, we're going to try to turn a little corner here and talk about something different. When we talk about, you know, engaging with the world, and maybe you listened to last week's episode on showing mercy, and you felt really like, okay, I really want to apply this, you know, this concept and really engage with the idea of the mercy that God shows to us. I want to show to other people. I want to get out there and I want to show to other people. And that encouraged you to go out and do some good works and to really witness to people. You know what? That's wonderful, and I'm hoping that when you listen to our episodes and our conversations here, that we really do edify you and build you up in that way.
And we pray that that is what we are doing.
Absolutely,
and that will always be our intention. Mm-hmm. I hope.
No, I hope as well. Yeah.
If it ever stops becoming our intention.
Yeah,
I hope that the platform's taken away from us.
Yeah,
or I hope that seriously, mm-hmm. I hope that we will realize where we've been wrong mm-hmm. in that, and we'll turn back around.
Yeah.
And get back on the right track. And if that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. again, I don't want mm-hmm. our content put out there if our only intention is to lift ourselves up.
Exactly. Yeah. And for other good examples of things to listen to also be edified and built up in a biblical worldview or theology or doctrine, or whatever the case may be, you can go to AFR.net and browse the other shows.
Yes, there's so many options. Yeah. Of course, we've got political discussions. We mm-hmm. have shows for the parents. Our friend Dr. Nurse Mama.
Yeah.
Great. Dr. Jessica Peck is mm-hmm. really good at discussing to you parents about a lot of things.
Yeah.
We have just down the hall, we have Brother Bert Harper, mm-hmm. who should be, at this time when we're recording this, getting ready to go on the air himself for his 3 p.m. slot, daily slot with Dr. Alex McFarland. They have mm-hmm. a program called Exploring the Word. Mm-hmm. And again, they just go through the Bible. They take a book of the Bible and they go through it and really get deep in that. And, so that's only a couple mm-hmm. examples. We've got, for you people who are worried about finances, we got Rob West on there. You know, we've tried to cover a wide range of things and give a platform to people that, of course, that have been vetted and mm-hmm. we have prayed about.
Yeah.
Again, go to AFR.net. Mm-hmm. And that's not all we have. We have tons of other things. So if you want to know more about the other things we do, go to AFA.net.
Yeah, absolutely. The AFA, really, part of the core mission of AFA is to build up and equip the church here in America and across the world to really go out into the world and advance the kingdom of God. That really is the heart and soul of AFA. And I hope that when you engage with AFA's materials and media, that happens to you as well, that you feel built up and stirred to go then in your day-to-day life and work for the Lord. So in light of that, I'm going to read a couple of verses here from Titus. This is Titus 2:11-14, and it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, mm-hmm. we're going to be talking about zealousness.
Yeah. So I want to paint a picture for you. Mm-hmm. This is a very real story of someone I know called me. I can't tell you how many times growing up, I would get, I was, you know, a youth group kid. My parents had me in church.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I was younger, my dad wasn't in church like he should have been. And my mom had me, always had me in church. And you know, and both of my parents are strong believers. And like, since my dad got back in the church, I was pretty young. This is years ago. They always believed I needed to be there. And so I was involved in everything.
Right.
And that included summer youth camp and other events. And they have the music slowly mm-hmm. while the preacher is, he's speaking and,
yeah.
and there's emotions flowing mm-hmm. and I'm and you're down and you're crying and you don't even know why sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you're fired up. You're ready to go tell everybody at school.
Yeah.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think some of us, like the story is maybe a little different, but there is that initial mm-hmm. coming to Christ and feeling that, you use the word zealous, mm-hmm. You're feeling that zeal.
Yeah.
You want to go out. And somewhere along the way, it, as you go, before you know it, because you weren't careful and maybe you didn't, stay on your knees praying like you should or
yeah.
things like that. It just becomes work.
It just becomes work, yeah.
The thing you're doing, the thing you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
But it's, you're no longer like turning to Christ for answers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're no longer spending time asking God for direction. You've built this thing and it's now, it's just running.
Yeah. And I do think too, I mean, that's our tendency as humans. And I think another tendency is to then be like, okay, I see that problem. I see that I've sort of started to sort kind of spiritually coast a
yeah.
little bit. I'm riding off of the energy of yesterday. And it's just not suffice. It's not sufficient. It's not
yeah.
really providing me with what I need to keep going. And so I need to recreate that excitement.
Yeah.
I need to recreate that experience. I need to listen to that kind of music. I need to go to that kind of event and get refueled on that energy.
Hire a keyboard player.
I need to get that emotional high so that I can then maybe coast a little bit more. Now, if we look back at what Titus is saying, or actually this is not Titus saying it, it's Paul writing to Titus.
Mm-hmm.
What Paul is saying here is that God's people will be zealous for good works.
Mm-hmm.
There is an inherentness to that zeal that comes from being a part of God's people. This isn't something that we have to work up in ourselves and go to the revival event and listen to the pretty organ music and the choir singing our favorite songs and getting that emotional high. That's not the same thing. While those are not bad things at all, and look, God uses beauty, God uses music, and God uses our emotions. If you never have an emotional high about God, maybe you should think about that.
Yeah.
But if all you have is that,
and without it, you cannot mm-hmm. seem to get yourself up to do the work you need to do.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah. And you don't have that deeply inset, that well of excitement and that well of willingness to go and obey God and to do the things that he has set before you to do, that is something to pray
yeah.
about. That is something to pray about.
Then there are also those that are fired up about the work, and maybe it's good work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe but you're no longer, it's no longer about Christ. It's just about the work.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good it is if it's no longer about Christ.
Right.
Like, you could be feeding the homeless,
mm-hmm.
And that's good. That's not bad.
Yeah, and you shouldn't stop.
No, you shouldn't stop. But, again, if it starts to become about you
mm-hmm.
and you looking good,
mm-hmm.
then you have shifted off course.
Right. Yeah. And so I think the best thing to do is really to meditate on what are my motivations here? Like when I am getting up and I'm going to, okay, I've said yes to being the Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, the elders have asked me to teach a certain age group. I'm going to do it. But to have this awareness of if you start feeling that sense of drudgery, oh, I have to prepare that lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, oh man, I just don't want to do that. And it's okay to be honest about that. I mean, if you feel that way, that is something to be honest about and to talk about. And that's not something necessarily to be ashamed of. It happens to everybody. Or if you notice that it becomes something that you just talk about all the time and it becomes something that, well, I'm, you know, I've become a Sunday school teacher and, you know, and you just start using this as a way to prop yourself up a little bit. Yeah. And it's kind of a bragging.
Having a conversation with you and you're like, well, as a Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Okay.
We've all met people like this, or we've been people like this, unfortunately. Then that is a cue to then not stop doing what you're supposed to be doing, not stop serving, but to, in that serving, ask God, bring my heart back on track.
Yeah.
Put yourself on the throne. And even if I physically and mentally don't feel like doing this thing, help me to find either the sufficient energy from you to do that, and you carry me through this, or to have enough honesty to tell somebody, hey, this is just not a good time for me right now.
I think, though, if you take the time to work on shifting how, because sometimes it is, there's this mindset and you can shift that.
Yeah, you can.
When you're sitting there thinking, oh, I got to prepare this Sunday school lesson.
Yeah.
and change it to, I know people are kind of groan at this, change it to the, I get to prepare this Sunday school lesson.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, if you keep looking at things like, I have been saved.
Mm.
Christ saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Christ cleansed me of my sins.
Yeah.
And now I get an opportunity to pour, like to go and pour into these kids. I get to spend time in the Word with the intention of pouring into these kids.
Yeah.
I mean, that
is
a whole shift. And sometimes you may say it to yourself and not feel it the first time. But I think if you just keep pushing and pushing and thinking about like Christ saw fit in my life to use me here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. That is something like, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
I'm still looking at you like, why am I here doing this right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Christ saw fit to make things move in a way in order that me and you would be sitting here recording today.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, when we're trying to decide what we're going to discuss, and I'm like, oh, I got to go find a topic. You know, I got to find a topic. And I've been guilty of it before, not turning to Christ and be like, all right, God, what is it that you want me to discuss today? Half the time when we end up doing this, I'm preaching at myself by the end of it, and I hurt my own feelings.
Yeah.
Right now I'm doing it. It's happening. You're getting it in real time.
It happens a lot on this show.
Stepping on my own toes. But like, I get, you know, like for some reason, and I may not understand why, because I never thought I had like smart and good things to say.
Mm-hmm.
But God has seen it fit to shift things over my almost 14 years of working here.
Mm-hmm.
To having me on the air discussing these things with you, that is like, that I get to do this, not I have to do this.
Right. And absolutely, I think exactly that is tapping into where that God-given zeal comes from. And not the kind of zeal that we work, you know, we get excited, you know, we're at the pep rally, we're getting excited for the team or whatever the case may be. This is not something we're working up in ourselves. It's not a temporary fuel source that it's on our shoulders to create.
Yeah.
This is something that comes from God, and you're tapping into exactly the source of that. It's not, I have to obey God. I get to obey God.
There have been Christians throughout history and Christians alive today that have that same attitude about dying for Christ.
Yes.
I get to die for Christ. That's not saying they're not. That's not saying that they're not scared.
Yeah.
That's not saying that they're not afraid in those moments, but their fear is just a human fear.
Mm-hmm.
In their soul, they know where they're going, and they know that once they die here, they will be reunited with Christ.
Yeah.
And So there, I mean, there are people who literally know to continue on the path that they are on, serving in the way they're serving equals their death.
Mm-hmm.
I once knew somebody who did, they did a stint on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, they said they had like their secret church they'd meet, and there'd always be people who were supposed to direct people to this secret church meeting, because it had to change all the time. Mm-hmm. And they said even though the lifespan of someone who took that job was greatly shortened, it could be just a couple weeks and they're gone.
Mm.
They said they never had a shortage
of
volunteers, people ready to go out there and do it.
Wow. Wow.
And we are complaining about having to get up earlier on Sunday.
Yeah.
And go into church. And but I mean, like, here it should be, I get to go to church. I get to go sit in a pew.
Yeah.
I get to worship.
Mm-hmm.
I get to openly carry scripture with me.
Yes.
With no fear. That's what we get to do here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that should just like fill you with that in that moment. That should just fill you with that zeal. Like, I'm ready to go out and do, and in all that you are doing, you should be turning to Christ and like looking to him for direction.
And I think that's the difference right there, is when you see the people who, they never seem to tire of genuinely serving God and his people. What I've noticed about these, and there's a few names that stand in my mind. I'm not going to name anybody just for, you know, for their sake, but
you're talking about me.
Yeah, yes, I'm talking about.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
I'm thinking about certain people who, some markers about them is that they are very humble.
Uh-huh.
That they would never put themselves forward or try to stand out in any way. They are the most humble people I know. They are the most prayerful people I know, and the most dedicated to continually reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And they never seem to grumble or complain or grow tired of doing good things. And I really believe it's because they're following the Holy Spirit. And there's such a difference between the zeal of someone who is in tune with God and is following the Holy Spirit and is adopting that mentality of, I just want to commune with God. There's a difference between that kind of zeal and the zeal of somebody who has to work it up. And a couple of examples I can think of in the Bible of people who had to work up that zeal. One is Peter. If we think about a guy who was zealous, it was Peter. Peter was gung-ho about Jesus in all the wrong ways.
Cutting ear off.
Cutting ear off.
When, don't forget the ear.
Don't forget the ear. Pick it up. Put it back on. Because if anybody.
I want a t-shirt now that just says, don't forget the ear.
Don't forget the ear. I'm sure Peter never forgot the ear.
Yeah.
But if anybody was zealous in the wrong way to do good things. And you could argue from a human perspective that defending Jesus from getting arrested with violence on a human level could have been a good thing. At least it was in his mind.
Yeah.
But he was very zealous. He was going to go down for Jesus in that moment.
When it came, Jesus stopped him.
Yeah. When it came to wanting to prop Jesus up and be on the winning side and take victory in that kind of way, oh, he had no problem being associated with Jesus. But when it came to self-sacrifice, no, I'm not with him.
Yeah, I think in those moments, a lot of his, a lot of the, just like many Jewish people, who a lot of them were against Christ because Jesus didn't come as they expected him to.
Yep.
They expected their Messiah to come riding in as a great general with a huge army behind him, and he was, but not like they thought.
Mm-hmm.
Christ was fighting that spiritual battle, and he wasn't. He didn't come in with an army to defeat Rome.
Yeah,
like a lot of the Jews believed of on that day. That's what they thought he was going to do, and when he didn't do that, some, you know, and I think Peter was still kind of that mindset.
Yes,
that they were going to like. Like, I don't know if he thought it exactly, but he still kind of had that ready to fight attitude. And Jesus, in those moments, Jesus stopped him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to the ear, Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on the soldier and healed him.
Yeah.
Because that's like the opposite. He was like, that is not what we're doing here.
Exactly. And you bring that up. I think my second example of people who had to work up that zeal were literally called zealots.
Mm-hmm.
This was a group of Jews in the time of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a historian or a biblical scholar in any sort of way, so I'm hopefully not getting. I'll be as general as possible.
Okay, like all things that we say, we will ask
take it with
you,
a grain of salt.
Well, I mean, always look to Scripture.
Yes,
with anything that we say.
But
so
the zealots were exactly that. They were a group of Jews who wanted to reclaim the Holy Land, and they wanted to take it back, and they wanted to be independent from Rome. They wanted to throw off Roman rule and return Israel to the way things in their minds should have been. And they expected, if you were to pull aside a zealot and ask a zealot, what's the Messiah going to do when he gets here? They would be like, oh, he'll raise an army. He'll be like Gideon. He'll be like David. He will ride into Jerusalem. He will throw off the Roman authorities, and we will rise and be a great kingdom once again. And on the surface level, if you didn't have the knowledge that now we do on this side of the New Testament, that sounds great. It sounds biblical. It sounds like, that's what God wants. That's what he's done in the past. But no, that's not what happened. And instead, you see Jesus coming in humbly. You know, yes, he does miracles, but he always does it in a way that glorifies God and demonstrates, you know, who he is and that he's here to save. He comes in humbly on a donkey and he dies the most humiliating way possible. He is not going to conquer Rome until he does through the gospel later on. And so there's such a difference between the humility of a person, again, who is in deep communion with God and is following the prompts of the Holy Spirit versus someone who is maybe disconnected from that, never has been connected to that, or someone who, yes, they are indwelt the Holy Spirit, but they are trying to do things on their own terms. They have to work up that energy. They have to work that up. And with that comes arrogance sometimes or complaining or just, you know, a disharmony with, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. You don't really see the fruits of the Spirit grow and thrive in a Christian who is not following the Holy Spirit.
So I kind of have like two categories here, though. Like if you're like really throwing yourself into good works and you're doing it and you look zealous, so it's like, how can you tell you're doing it right, you're doing it wrong? I guess is the reasons for doing it. Are you doing it out of obedience or are you doing it for reward? So we have some scripture going into Matthew 6, verses 16 and 18. And it says, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." Again, the reward will be there. But if you are looking to be seen as righteous and good, often your reward is the words and the pat on the back you get from other people.
Like, congratulations. Now humans think good of you, but what does God think of you? It's like, what reward would you rather have? The empty praise of man, or would you rather have, you know, well done, good and faithful servant? And I mean, that can be such a temptation, I think, for people who really do, you know, are attracted to that gratification of someone patting you on back and said, you know what, that was a great prayer you prayed. I really was blessed by that. And not that that's a wrong thing to say to anybody whatsoever, but, you know, that kind of thing where you're just like, you know what, I did, that was a good prayer. I can put those words together pretty well, you know. And
look at me.
Yeah, I can kind of carry myself a little taller now in this congregation. That kind of attitude does not please God at all and does not glorify him, and is something we should really be wary of.
Yeah. I know that around here, we, and a lot of listeners probably already know this, mm-hmm. and especially if you visit and take a tour,
yeah.
we have devotion every single morning.
Yes, we do.
And there is an alphabetical list of employees yeah. that they assign. So we all take our turn doing mm-hmm. Devotion. I believe mine is coming up.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're in the C's pretty soon.
So, no, they are. They're in the C's. So oh, I'm pretty sure mine okay. is like next week or the week after. And then after you do it, uh-huh. like I don't know, people come up, good devotion, mm-hmm. and after a few of those, you know, yeah. good devotions you get, you know, do I let those make me feel like I did a good job,
yeah,
and I start thinking highly of myself, and or do I still just like I only did it because number one, the job requires me. Number two, Christ, you know, Christ, that is, he requires me to share. And so I wanted to do this to the best of my ability. I wanted to come from a place that he would have me come from.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking for your little pat on the shoulder. I mean, thank you.
Yes.
But that is not why I did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think in those situations where you have done something, you know, maybe it is a little bit more public. Maybe you are on a devotion list that you have to, that you have to do and your yeah. turn's coming up. Whatever the case may be. And people say, you know what? I was really blessed by that. You can say, well, thank you so much for telling me, I'm just happy yeah. that God puts me in this situation where I'm able to serve him. And you can turn it back to God. But absolutely, we are out of time. So thank you so much for listening. Go to afa.net for more information. And until next week, continue to share truth and apply scripture.